taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. We try to learn from the past so we don't have to repeat it. Speaking of the past, how many of you remember what happened on December 1773? We had this little thing called the Boston Tea Party. There's a lot of misinformation. And my goal today isn't actually to educate you about the Boston Tea Party, but to ask, is it time we had maybe a modern version of the Boston Tea Party? See, the Boston Tea Party was an act it was a rebellion against the Tea Act. The requirement by the British Crown that colonists only buy English tea, that they pay a tax on it. And they finally had enough, and a group of them threw a bunch of tea in the harbor. Well, today it seems that we need our own, maybe not a tea party. Maybe what we really need, maybe what it's time for, is actually a COVID party. Now, I know you can't pick up COVID and throw it in the harbor, but what we can do is refuse to comply with these list of irrational edicts, orders, and general intimidation when it comes to COVID-19. Now, there's a couple things that brought this about. One is another series of reports about the Delta variant. Even news organizations that I tend to trust more than others keep focusing on, the Delta variant, it's more contagious. You know what I never hear them mention? The fact that the Delta variant is, I believe, less deadly. That's right. While the death rate from people who've contracted the original COVID is something like 99.2 or 98%, it's more than 99% for the Delta variant. See, it's spreading. And we have treatments for it that we know, or at least people with an actual scientific mind know, work. But you see, they don't tell you about that. No. They just focus on the fact that cases are going up. Okay, so, you know, cases of the cold go up during the winter. Does that mean we have to have a national panic? So I think it's time we have a COVID party. I think it's time that the American people say, enough is enough. We're tired of your stupid. We're tired of your foolishness. We're tired of your tyranny. We've had enough. Now, one of the things that brought this to mind was an article I saw. It was actually posted. It was shared on LinkedIn. And it was interesting. It was a vaccination exemption card. I don't know where this person found it. It was interesting. It says, under the law of informed consent, I refuse any and all vaccinations. I do not authorize any person, institute, government, organization, employer, business to inoculate me under any circumstances. All right, well, that's kind of interesting. And, this is any individual who attempts to violate my right to consent will be prosecuted to under the full extent of the law. And it goes on and says, my right of informed consent is protected by national and international law. Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights, Article 6, Code of Federal Regulations, Title 22, Part 50, Geneva Convention 4 of 1949, Article 12, Nuremberg Code of Informed Consent, and Missouri versus McNeely, 569 U.S. 2013. And it's very impressive, and listen, I have no problem with anybody that has this card and wants to show this card. I have no problem whatsoever. I just think it's a lot simpler. I refuse to give up my right to the property I have in my body, protected by Amendment 5 and 14 of the Constitution of the United States. Period. End of story. Forget the Universal Declaration on Bioethics or the Geneva Convention, which I believe actually deals with combatants, not citizens, but whatever. Let's not make a big deal. It's real simple. The Fifth Amendment to the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment, 14th Amendment of the Constitution both say you shall not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. You have a property in your body. Control of that property is essential to property rights. Therefore, any person, institution, government, organization, employer, or business that attempts to inoculate you is depriving you of your of the property you have in your body without due process. And while this goes on to say any individual who attempts to violate my right to consent will be prosecuted under the full extent of the law, my saying is anybody who attempts to jab a needle in my arm is posing an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury. I use those words for a reason. See, that should anybody who's at all familiar with law enforcement or with the application of force recognizes those words. You see, an imminent threat of death or bodily injury is the trigger language in each and every state for the ability of a citizen to use lethal force. You come at me with an experimental drug, you are threatening me, and I will respond accordingly. Now, that is an extreme situation. I really doubt that they're going to be roving bands of vaccinators that are going to knock you down and hold you down and vaccinate you. Now, that's just way over the top. But what we have is a lot of people trying to intimidate you into getting the shot. Now, if you have the shot, if you want the shot, hey, that's fine. At this stage of the game, name me one adult in the United States who wants the shot who hasn't been able to get the shot. Right? This is no longer about vaccinating people because getting people vaccines. This is about intimidating people into being vaccinated. Take, for example, Dr. Fauci. Now, I don't trust Dr. Fauci as far as I could throw the CDC. But he said on MSNBC that people's hesitancy toward the vaccine's safety is a political statement. No, it isn't, Mr. Fauci. And in fact, that is medical malpractice for you to say so. See, you are not familiar with the medical condition of all 330 million Americans. Therefore, for you to make a position, to make a statement like that, is medical malpractice. You are treating, you are recommending a treatment to somebody without understanding, without knowledge of their medical condition. He then asks, what is the problem? Get over it. Get over this political statement. Well, Mr. Fauci, it's not a political statement. It's a medical statement. You are recommending a drug to me that is still experimental. For a disease, I have a 99% chance of surviving if I get it. You are making it a political statement when it's a medical problem. You have no idea what my medical history is. You have no idea how my body reacts to vaccines. You have no idea. You don't know the medical or moral conditions under that I'm dealing with. You, sir, are a bully. You are trying to use your position, the vaunted position of White House medical advisor, to bully people into ignoring what is in their best interest to do what you want because you have fallen for the belief that only vaccine will save us. This is the same man that said we had to use masks that have been proven not only to not stop the vaccine, but actually open you up to other infections. Who believes, who listens to this buffoon? Now, I'm sorry, I don't really like calling people name, but I'm getting really tired of people who lie to me over and over and over again and expect me to believe them. So, Mr. Fauci, my decision as to whether or not I get a vaccine, any American's decision as to whether or not to get the vaccine, is not a political statement. You pushing them, pushing people to get a vaccine when they don't want it. That is a political statement. That is a bully. That, my friends, is Dr. Mengele. That is the Soviet Union. That is communist China. And I, for one, I wouldn't take this vaccine if at this point I don't trust that this vaccine is even safe at this point. There have been over 7,000 deaths now from the vaccine or immediately after taking the vaccine. There have been tens, if not hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions. Now, that's still a very small percentage, but I'm intelligent enough to do a basic cost-benefit, a risk analysis, and say, why would I risk something that is potentially so devastating as either a heart disease or death for a disease that if I get it, all I got to do is go down to my doctor, get a couple of simple drugs, and I stand a 99% plus chance of surviving it. This isn't rational. This isn't science. Which makes me wonder, Mr. Fauci, why are you pushing a vaccine for a disease that is not that deadly? Oh, the Delta variant. You stand a better chance of surviving the Delta variant than you do the original. Why? Why are there people in power pushing you to take an experimental drug? This is now the largest experiment human testing program without informed consent since the Tuskegee syphilis experiments. And Mr. Fauci's a leader of the band. Then we have Secretary Becerra. Oh, here's another beautiful one. So he says it is absolutely the government's business to know who gets vaccinated. Well, Mr. Becerra, the answer is no. In fact, the answer is hell no. There is nothing in the Constitution of the United States that grants the federal government any reason to know anything about my medical health. Period. End of story. You petty tyrant. You're talking about government knowing absolutely everything about your most intimate bodily functions. Mr. Becerra, you come to find out if I've been vaccinated or not, you're more likely to get a punch in the nose than you are to get a straight answer. The government has absolutely no business in knowing who gets vaccinated or not, because the only health emergency we have is the one the government created when it shut everything down for a bug that turns out to be not nearly as dangerous as we were told. We've been lied to about this from the beginning, and the evidence keeps coming out, and we keep listening to the same buffoons over and over again. Tell me, how many of you contacted your House of Representatives to impeach Secretary Becerra for violating your privacy? HIPAA says it is illegal for the federal government or anyone to ask your medical history. It is illegal. The health secretary is ignoring HIPAA laws. Why is he not being investigated? Why is he not being impeached? Because we have government actors who are more interested in government power than in your health. Yeah, I get worked up about this. I get really worked up about these petty tyrants and their simple assumptions. Just because Mr. Becerra says so doesn't mean diddly squat. And it's about time we stop simply complying because Mr. Becerra or Mr. Fauci says so. It's about time we have a COVID party. And we stand up and say, no. In fact, let's take that line from the movie Network. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's it. We are mad as hell and we are not going to take it anymore. These petty tyrants are done. They are done controlling my life. They can hold their office. They can write their laws. They can threaten me all they want. I will not comply. I will not bend the knee to tyranny. Not about COVID, not about anything else. I have had enough. What was interesting is, and I'm not sure if this is directly from Mr. Becerra's comment, but there have been questions. You've got the White House talking about going door to door to try and boost people, the number of people getting COVID vaccinations. Well, the question was, is that program going to work on a database? In other words, is the government keeping track of who is and isn't vaccinated? Now, according to the infamous Jen Psaki, who, you know, she's the lying mouthpiece for the liar in chief. So I really trust it when she says that the government doesn't have a database of who has been and has not been vaccinated. Does anybody really believe that? I mean, let's face it. While the administrations change, the bureaucrats remain. I mean, these are the same. This is the same Washington, D.C. that said, oh, no, we're not collecting data on, phone data, cell phone data on the American people. Oh, no, we're not spying on the American people. We're not collecting data on the American people. And then we find out they did. Oh, no, we're not sending money to Wuhan. There's no evidence that this came from a lab. No, this happened. And then there's evidence that there was. So pardon me, Ms. Psaki, if I don't believe a word that comes out of your mouth, you don't maintain a database, then how do you know how many people have been vaccinated? How can you be sure if you don't know? And then again, how do you know if the numbers, if this door-to-door campaign is working, if you're not keeping track of who's getting vaccinated? Give me a break. COVID party now. Let's start that hashtag. Hashtag COVID party. Instead of throwing the T into the bay, we're going to throw the petty tyrants out the door. We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. And of course, it's not just the federal government, right? There's now, I guess, 8 University of Indiana students are filing a lawsuit against the school's board of trustees over a vaccine mandate. See, I've reported and I've put it, by the way, if you're interested, I post stuff like this on my Constitution Scholars website, but you can always find stuff there. But I've been reporting on all of these schools that are putting in mandates for the students to get vaccinated. Well, guess what? Apparently some students said, you know what? We've had enough. They filed a lawsuit in federal court against the school's board of trustees that said, no, it violates the 14th Amendment. Because if it's a University of Indiana is a state-run school, it's a public school, they are depriving them of their property, of their body, of the liberty without due process of law. That is a violation of the 14th Amendment. This is coercion. This is intimidation. This is not simply a question of we need to keep people safe, because students in college are some of the safest students you can have. They are one of the safest demographics. In fact, the only buddy safer than people of college age are people of high school age and elementary school age. These are the least at risk of serious reactions should they get COVID. Yet here we have state-run schools coercing, demanding, enforcing. When are we going to say enough is enough? When are we going to say enough is enough? When are we going to rip off our masks and take those vaccines and simply throw them in the trash? When? Isn't it time we have a little COVID party? Isn't it time we take a cue from history? Government pushes and pushes and pushes and pushes. And again, it's not just the government. We have state-run schools. We have public schools that are all pushing and pushing and pushing you into compliance. That's what this is about. This is about subjecting you to the government's will. The vaccines are doing, are not the cure-all of everything. And remember, we still don't know the long-term effect of these vaccines. So what are you going to do? Have you had enough? Are you mad yet? That's the question I have. Are you mad yet? Oh, sure, there'll people be calling, civil disobedience, insurrection. They're going to call me names. I was on my Q&A the other day, and someone said, well, won't I be put on an extremist list? You probably already are. You probably already are. So what? Isn't it time we stop giving government the authority to dictate to our lives? To stand up as a free people and say, no, it is time we regain control over our government. It's time we, the people, regain control of those we hire to represent us. No more vaccines, no more masks, no more violations of the Constitution. I don't care what these people say. Oh, Paul, but you're breaking the law. No, I'm enforcing the supreme law. What do you mean, Paul? Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution. This Constitution and the laws of the United States made pursuant thereto, and the treaties made within the power, or it shall be made by the power of the United States, shall be the supreme law. You see, the Constitution supersedes federal law, unless that federal law is made pursuant to the Constitution, which kind of still puts the Constitution in charge. So these laws, these edicts, these orders, these demands mean nothing. Chief Justice Marshall, in the Marbury versus Madison opinion, wrote, quote, "Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle, supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts as well as other departments are bound by that instrument." I like the way Alexander Hamilton put it in Federalist Papers number 78. "There is no position which depends on clearer principles than that every act of a delegated authority, contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised, is void. No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. All laws made contrary to the Constitution are invalid. Every act of government contrary to the Constitution is void." This is the basis of liberty, that the people rule the government, not the other way around. It is so obvious. Mr. Hamlin went on to say, "To deny this would be to affirm that the deputy is greater than his principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves, that men acting by virtue of powers may do not only what their powers do not authorize, but what they forbid." See, every time you submit to an unconstitutional law, you are placing the representatives of the people above the people. You are making them the master and you the servant. Every time we let government act beyond its commission, we are making them the masters and making us the servant. We are enabling them to do what their powers do not authorize, and in fact, what their powers forbid. So let's have a COVID party. Let the American people stand up for reason and for liberty and say, no, we did not consent to this. That is an unjust power. Mr. Fauci, Mr. Becerra, Ms. Psaki, Mr. Biden, that is an unjust power, and we will not comply. Otherwise, we aren't free. This is no longer the land. If we will not stand up to the tyrants in our own house, this is no longer the land of the free. Neither is it the home of the brave. Because if government can rule without your consent, you are not free. And if you will not stand up for your rights and the rights of your family and your friends and your neighbor, this is not the home of the brave. And it saddens me to say that America has fallen to this point. The good news is we can change it. Yes, it will take work. Yes, it will take effort. It'll take our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Some may be jailed. Some may be beaten. Some may be punished. What is your family's liberty worth? What will you pay so that your children can breathe free? Your answer to that question doesn't just say how you feel about liberty, what you think about your family's liberty. It's what you think about the very idea of justice. If America is to remain the land of the free, her people must stand up, be the home of the brave, and stand against the petty tyrants wherever we find them. Our military promises to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It's about time the American people do the same thing. So before I head to break, I have a quick question for you. Are you looking for better sleep, more focus and energy? Well, let me recommend to you Healthy Cell. They are a leading innovator on nutritional supplements for health at the cellular level. Now, my wife actually has been using REM sleep longer than I have. She loves it. She's always had a hard time getting to sleep. We've tried everything. This seems to work better than anything else. Helps her fall asleep, helps her stay asleep. And it's great because she wakes up refreshed. She doesn't even need naps in the afternoon like she used to. So do me a favor, head over to healthycell.com/outloud and you'll get 20% off your first order. You can try the REM sleep or any of their other products. But I think you'll find that not dealing with pills, with a simple gel that you can either take directly or mix into a drink, you'll find it an easier, a better way to deal with your health, to make sure that you can function, that you can stand when government is there. And again, head to healthycell.com/outloud for 20% off your first order. And I'll be back right after this short break.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. We read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And today, speaking of freedom, we're talking about a COVID party. Kind of the 21st century version of the Boston Tea Party. It's the American people saying they've had enough. We're going to take these tyrannical rules and regulations, these unlawful infringements on our rights and our liberty, and we're going to metaphorically throw them into the harbor. We're going to get rid of them. We've had enough. We will no longer allow government to exercise unjust power over us. Now, the only way we do this is together, by knowing our rights, recognizing when they're being violated, and recognizing how we can legitimately restore them. Now, I've talked already about some of the stuff that's been going on to the federal government in some of our schools, but see, it's no longer simply the government that is out to infringe on our rights, that are oppressing us using COVID as an example. For example, many of you probably know of the business social media outlet known as LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn recently deleted an account of a gentleman because he dared to question Lord Fauci when it comes to the question of the risks of the COVID vaccine. Well, specifically the risks in young children. I mean, he himself said that, you know, vaccines save lives, but he believes the risks associated with the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines outweigh the benefits among children because children, the death rate among children is all but zero. Yet we're willing to experiment with them, not only with a new vaccine, but a new type of vaccine. And for that, he was booted from LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn has restored his account. Again, I don't know why. My guess is it was probably quite the brouhaha. I mean, when you take a noted expert that has facts and data and you shut him up because, well, he doesn't go along with the orthodoxy, well, that tends to get people mad. It's about time we got mad. Now, I have a LinkedIn account. I don't use it much anymore. I post stuff to it so that other people can see what I'm doing. But, you know, I don't have to have LinkedIn. I'd be more than happy to ditch LinkedIn. The point is, how can you trust what you hear on LinkedIn when you know that it's being filtered and censored to promote a fear agenda, the fear agenda of COVID-19? You know, it was William Pitt the Younger that said, necessity is a plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. And this fear generated over COVID-19 that has been proven over time to be overblown. The fear that cannot be acknowledged. We must shut up every effort to provide facts and data that contradict the fear agenda. That's the will of a tyrant. That's the cry of a tyrant. That's the cry of a bully. And LinkedIn, well, I don't know. They did restore the account. So I won't necessarily say they're a bully, but they certainly did react very poorly in this instance. Maybe I'll give them the chance to redeem themselves. They've restored this account. Let's see how they deal with other inconvenient facts. Of course, not just LinkedIn. Royal Caribbean now wants guests to show proof of vaccination or to pay for a test. Okay, Royal Caribbean. So in other words, you're telling me you're a petty tyrant that's willing to bow to the fear porn and inflict on your guests either that they show their papers or they submit to testing. Well, you know what, Royal Caribbean? I got no use for you. I have zero use for you. Even if I was planning a cruise, I would not step foot on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship simply because they are a bunch of petty tyrants and bullies. Now, they have every legal right to do this. Those ships are their private property. And I have every legal right to call them the petty tyrants and bullies that they are and to refuse to do business with them. The same way I refuse to do business with Delta Airlines, American Airlines, United Airlines. I am no longer going to be a victim to their bullying. I am no longer going to be a subject to their tyranny. And it's about time the American people stand up with me and say, we are mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. It's not just them. What about a California boutique? They'd said, hey, no vaccine, no service. Now, I find it interesting that the same government that says you have to serve, you have to make cakes for homosexual weddings, you have to treat transgenders in the lie that they want to be, they want to force you to put up with everything, they want to tell you everybody that has to go into your service, your business is willing to say, oh yeah, no vaccine, no service. No, that's not a problem. Because California is no longer a free state. It's the Soviet socialist state of California. So this doesn't surprise me a bit. And I feel for all those freedom-loving, liberty-minded people that are stuck there for one reason or another. You are behind enemy lines when it comes to freedom. Now, if the owner of Bohemia Newport Beach doesn't want to do business with people who are smart enough to make decisions for themselves, well, that's their business. Personally, I wouldn't set foot there, even if I had a vaccine. She is a bully. She's not simply being bullied. She now is a bully. Deborah Nguyen. She is a bully. How do you deal with bullies? You stand up to them. You don't cower before them. You stand up and say no. So if she wants, now, I don't know. She's in Orange County, right? Newport Beach. It's full of enough people who've been so brainwashed into servitude, they'll probably go along with it. Okay. But let's not let that infect the rest of the country. Let's be better than that. And while we're at it, let's take a look at Ohio. Ohio, I believe, was the first state to introduce a vaccine lottery. Now, again, I keep asking the question, is there anybody today, any adult who wants the vaccine who hasn't gotten it? So we're basically dealing with people who either don't want the vaccine or just apathetic. They don't care one way or the other, which, of course, are the people that this lottery is targeting. So they set up this lottery. They were going to, I mean, you get the vaccine and you have a chance to win a $1 million prize. Now, I know a lot of people that would take a jab for a $1 million prize. But here's the interesting. There's been a study that came out that say that, well, you know, that pandemic related lottery. Well, maybe it wasn't effective as people thought. You see, Boston University School of Medicine compared Ohio with other states that did not offer a lottery. Now, they call it a lottery incentive. I call it a bribe. But okay, so what happens when you compare Ohio with states that didn't offer a lottery? You know what they found out? That Ohio's lottery program was not associated with an increase in vaccinations. Quoting, it says, quote, our results suggest that state-based lotteries are of limited value in increasing vaccine uptake. Therefore, the resources devoted to vaccine lotteries may be more successfully invested in programs that target underlying reasons for vaccine hesitancy and low vaccine uptake. That's according to the author of the study, and Alan J. Walke. Gee, you mean people who are hesitant to take the vaccine aren't simply going to be bribed for a chance at $1 million? Or if they're a child, a full-ride scholarship to an Ohio State school? So I come back to, you know, I ask the same question about a lot of things. If the vaccine is so good, why do you have to make such incentives, bribes, to get people to take it? If the vaccine was everything we're being told, if the vaccine was everything Governor DeWine has been talking about, why do you have to coerce people into getting the vaccine? Now, I'm sure there's a percentage of people, they're just, like I said, they're apathetic. They don't care one way or the other. It doesn't matter to them. But is that really that large a percentage at this point? Could it be that people don't want the vaccine, therefore they're not going to, a lottery's not going to change their mind? And after all of the news that's been coming out about masks, do you really trust the data about the vaccine? Or more accurately, what the scientists are saying about the vaccine? I mean, the data is that, you know, for the vaccine is primarily safe and it is pretty effective. But each and every one of us are an individual. We have our own biochemistry. We have our own medical history. And we have our own moral aversions, moral requirements. This drive for everybody to be vaccinated, for everyone to be alike, that's collectivism. That ignores our differences. It ignores our conscience. It ignores the reality of our medical history. And it has been deadly in the past. And I fear there's going to be a lot of unforeseen consequences. Well, see, unforeseen by the people who've been promoting the vaccine, probably foreseen by the people who are not getting the vaccine. And this is, again, nothing new. Look at what's been coming out about mask mandates. And I've been against government mask mandates since the beginning. If you want to wear a mask, go ahead, wear a mask. We supposedly live in a free country. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to hang around people that aren't wearing masks, don't hang around people that aren't wearing masks. But now we're finding out what was the cost. See, everyone acted like there was zero cost to wearing a mask. There was no loss. Let's ignore the rising levels of depression, the rising levels of drug and alcohol abuse. Let's avoid the rising isolation. Let's ignore the fact that a significant part of face-to-face communication is reading a person's face. We'll just ignore all that. And now what do we come up with? We come up with more and more. So another study has been released that saying wearing a mask, especially among children, may actually be harmful. See, there are already studies out that say, you know, one of the problems with masks is because of the way you breathe through a mask, your mouth tends to dry out. You tend to drink less, your mouth dries out, which makes it much more susceptible to bacterial infection. So wearing a mask for hours at a time actually puts you more at risk for bacterial infections, including staph infections. Then there were the group of parents that took their kids' masks and sent them out to be tested, and they found all sorts of nasty bugs and viruses or diseases in the mask. See, the mask acts like a filter, but it also means it acts like a petri dish. When that stuff comes into the mask, it has a chance to grow. Stuff that's in the atmosphere that normally would just pass right on by, or you take it and you breathe it in, you breathe it out, and it's done. Well, see, now it's getting caught in the mask. And of course, the mask is moist because, well, when you breathe, there's water in there. So you create a beautiful medium for growing these bacteria. Bacteria that is deadly. And now a new study from the Journal of the American Medical Association, pediatrics section, found that wearing of nose and mouth coverings by children leads to increased CO2 levels, both inhaling and exhaling through a mask. Now, this group with physicians from Germany, Poland, Austria, they suggest that, you know what, children shouldn't wear masks, that it's actually detrimental to them to wear a mask. For example, the results found that on average, there are 13,000 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the air inhaled by children while wearing surgical and filtering masks. Under German law, carbon dioxide contents in a closed room cannot exceed 2,000 parts per million. They're seeing 13,000, six times the legal level in Germany. Just because children are wearing masks. And oh, the younger the children, the worse it gets. One seven-year-old measured 25,000 parts per million of carbon dioxide in this child's inhales and exhales, breathing. Kind of something important, don't you think? And in fact, the authors of the study cite another paper which analyzed 26,000 German children and determined 68%, over two-thirds, experienced adverse effects from wearing the masks. Yet our vaunted Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the illustrative, the elevated CDC, still recommends that children above the age of 2 wear a mask if not vaccinated. 2. As if this, not only common sense, but quite scientific study, doesn't matter. How about we stop listening to the so-called experts and start listening to some common sense? How about we start looking at some real data rather than listening to a bunch of bureaucrats who happen to have medical degrees? See, now, when I want to know about wearing a mask or hydroxychloroquine or the vaccine, do you know who I go to? I go to my doctor. Why do I go to my doctor? Because my doctor knows my medical conditions. She knows my health status. She also knows my moral leanings. And when my doctor says there's no way she's getting the vaccine because it's still experimental, I listen to that. Now, why would I listen to my doctor rather than Dr. Fauci or some other bureaucrat? It's the same reason why I tell you to focus your rights protections on what is local. I know her. She knows me. I have more influence and I know better what's going on. She's looking at the studies. She's reading the studies. When I bring a study to her and I point out, she reads it and helps interpret it. And guess what? I get better information from a local doctor where we are both researching the data and I'm using her medical expertise to help explain things than I've ever gotten from the CDC. Let's take these tyrants. Let's simply throw them overboard. No more. Oh, speaking of throwing overboard, I love this story. There was a flight out of Charlotte, North Carolina that was canceled. I believe it was an American Airlines flight that was, it got pushed back because a group of 30 high school students refused to wear masks on board the plane. Now, this got my attention for a couple of reasons. One is, hey, we have students that are saying, no, we're throwing your nonsense overboard. Now, the problem is American Airlines is a private company. They have the right to set standards to exclude those who don't follow certain rules. So what these students were doing were violating the private property rights of American Airlines. Of course, that's been so destroyed because of the other thing that caught my attention. See, when you fly, if any of you have ever flown on a commercial airline in the United States, they tell you it is a federal crime to disregard the instructions of a flight attendant. No. That is an illegal federal crime. The federal government does not have the right to deputize private companies or their employees to enact law. See, it doesn't say that it's a crime to disregard federal regulations or issued by the flight attendant. If the flight attendant says wear a mask, they treat it as a federal crime if you say no. Sorry, the federal government doesn't have that authority. Tell me, where in the Constitution is the federal government authorized to deputize private companies to act as law enforcement, much less act as legislators coming up with the rules on their own? So there was a little bit of a rebellion here. There was a little bit of the, we'll call it a COVID tea party, where a group of 30 or so high school students said no. No is a very powerful word. Now, this delayed the flight, and I'm sure some passengers were pretty upset about it. But here you have 30 young people that was standing up and saying, no, these masks are actually dangerous to me. I will not wear one. Or simply saying, these masks don't do anything. They're students. They're young people. They are some of the least at risk of COVID-19 of anybody. And all they wanted to do was be treated like intelligent, free people. Now, according to reports, they did get rowdy. And that's the part where I will disagree with them, right? They said they were yelling, they were cursing. They said they were being very obnoxious. Well, it kind of depends on obnoxious. You know, how do you define obnoxious? If they were simply saying, no, you have no legal right to force me, then, you know, some people might find that obnoxious. But to me, it's a symptom of a couple of things. It's a sign that people are getting fed up and that young people tend to be more willing to take risks as these people did. Maybe it's about time more Americans stopped acting as subjects and start standing up and acting like free citizens. Because there was another report that came out that was really interesting. So again, the FAA released a report. They said of the roughly 3,300 reports of unruly passengers received by the FAA so far in 2021, so in just over 6 months, they've received over almost 3,300 reports of unruly passengers. 75% of them had to do with wearing a mask. That's right. 75% had to do with wearing a mask. Now, I don't condone unruly behavior. I don't condone infringing on other people's rights. But I always wonder, how do you define unruly behavior? Is unruly behavior saying, no, I won't do it? No, it's not legal for you to demand that of me. No, it's not legal for you to force me. No. Now, that could be considered unruly. So I don't have the details as far as they go. And I'm sure some people got, you know, quite unruly. There are examples of people who have gotten up and punched people or generally became either violent or truly disruptive. But unruly just means you're not following the rules, which means telling a flight attendant, no, I will not wear that mask. That could be considered unruly. And if 3/4 of the reports of unruly passengers have to do with wearing a mask that we now have scientific evidence is not only not helpful in controlling the spread of a respiratory virus, but it actually detrimental, long-term wearing of masks is detrimental to the health of the people doing it. Maybe the unruly ones are not the passengers saying no. Maybe the unruly ones are the tyrants in Washington and in the boardrooms that are trying to make the American people subjects, to force them, to bully them into compliance with government edicts that have no legal leg to stand on, that are void, according to the Supreme Court, according to Alexander Hamilton, and according to just plain, simple common sense in reading the Constitution. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the unruly ones aren't the ones we think of. But maybe it is time for the American people to simply say, no, we will not comply anymore with laws that violate our rights, that violate the Constitution. We will not be subjects of government. We will be its master. We will not place our representatives above us. They are our servants. We will return America to the land of the free because the American people grew up in the home of the brave. Over our history, we have seen many wonderful, stellar examples of brave men and women standing up, sometimes when no one else would stand with them, and simply say, no. Maybe it's about time the American people learned that simple two-letter word. Maybe it's time we started our own COVID tea party. Not throwing physical tea into a harbor, but taking these illegal violations, these tyrannical abuses of our rights and our liberty, and metaphorically throwing them overboard. As if in our hearts, they don't exist. They're void. They don't exist anymore. They have no substance. They are an ether. They are dust in the wind. Let us not be bound by other people's madness. Let us breathe the fresh air of liberty. Let us once again declare that we will not go into the night of tyranny peacefully. We will stand our ground. We won't fire unless fired upon. But if those in government, if those in the boardroom, if those pundits and those Karens, if they want to have war, well, then let it begin here. Because I would rather fight that war than leave America a Stalinist, Soviet, Maoist ash heap for my children. Because that is quickly what we are becoming. And I don't know about you, I will not stand by and let that happen. The question is, what will you do? If you like the idea of the COVID tea party, hey, let's make it a hashtag. Let's spread it around. Let's see if people start waking up to the idea that we are not subjects of government, that we will not stand for tyranny in any form. Simply because it's of our own people doesn't mean we'll stand for it. Let us be peaceful, but let us be firm. Liberty does not take a break. It doesn't take a day off. It doesn't wait for someone to come fix it. It exists when the American people stand and demand that their governments obey them. Exercise only the powers they consent to, nothing more. Now, if you like this program, hey, all of my shows, they go to podcast, usually a couple of days after you hear them on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart, basically anywhere you get podcasts. And if you would do me a favor, head to Apple Podcasts, leave me a rating and review. Let other people know that the Constitution Study is something worth listening to, that it's something that you enjoy. Let's share that information with others. Also, please head to my websites. Go to constitutionstudy.com. Find out all the work that I'm doing there. Find out where I'll be speaking. Find out other events that I will be at. Hey, come invite me to speak to your event. I love going to events. I just got invited to one the other day. I'm looking forward to it. Then head to Constitution Scholars. Find other scholars in your neighborhood, in your state, that are just as interested in the Constitution as you are. And together, we will once again return America to the land of the free.
Maybe stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day.